Morning, everybody. Happy New Year to you. I just want to acknowledge and thank you for the privilege of standing in this place while Jeff is doing the work that will allow him to be a real pastor, right? Not like he's been doing, not like someone that just comes and cares for the people and loves them and serves them, but a real pastor. Anyway, that's another sermon for another day, but it is no small honor to be given this place, and I appreciate the special relationship that I have with Grace Point in this community. Happy birthday to my daughter-in-law, Kenzie, who is the mother of our four grandchildren, and it is we don't care about our son anymore because he did his part. It's like, okay, but we are so grateful for Kenzie and the work that she's doing with our grandchildren. And happy birthday to Richard. Some of you were saying, look, he's 90 years old. Like, what do you get him? What do you get a 90-year-old guy for his birthday? This is what you get him. You wear a suit and a tie when you preach. Happy birthday, Richard. Happy birthday, Richard. Hey, those of you watching online, welcome. Take a screenshot because you ain't never seeing this again. Okay. All right. It is a new year, and the new year, we mark time. We are eternal creatures. There will come a time when there is no time. In fact, Richard and I have had really fascinating conversations about what is time and how does time actually function and what will time be like in eternity when there is no time. But we mark time, and this is one of those moments in time where we really reconsider who we are and where we're going. And certainly God also caused us to mark time with the very festivals of the Old Testament, Passover being the most specific one. And the remembering of the Passover is when your children ask you, why are we doing this? You tell them where we've been. And so there is a time to remember. Today we will remember, do this in remembrance, mark time in the taking of communion. So it is good to mark time. It is good to remember where we have been and to think about where we are going. And so in this present moment, as we move into the new year, what do you want to remember? And where do you want to go? And so I would like to take these 3 weeks that I've been given the privilege of coming here and suggest that at least one of the things that we might want to do is we might want to do just a little more good this year than we did last year. This is not to say that we didn't do good last year, but maybe this could be the year of doing good. I want to do good. And this is an awesome thing because I think this is the sort of thing I can stand up here and I can say, who thinks it would be a good idea to do more good next year? And someone says, no. You know, I think I did enough. In fact, I did so much good last year, I'm going to pull back a little this year. I'm actually going to be just a little more of a jerk this year. Okay, like, nobody's going to say this is a bad goal. So it's like a safe goal. But we're going to use the book of Titus to examine that. And so Titus has three chapters. It's directions from an elder, Paul, to a younger man, a younger leader in the church about how leadership in the church should be done, how a church ought to behave, how individuals ought to behave. And throughout it, you will keep running into this: to do good, to be good, to love the good. And so we're going to examine this over these 3 weeks. Now, if you've heard me talk before, you may have heard me talk about this little vision that I have that you can see the image of God in every single human being you meet based on four things that are true of every single person. This is just my own stuff, okay? So if you don't like it, you can just say, the guy, he's not even a real pastor. Like, okay, ask Jeff about it when he comes. But you can say, he's not even a real pastor. This is what, if no matter who you meet, people you love, people you don't love, your enemies, your friends, you can find four things. Every human being, because they are made in the image of God, has a desire to be great. Now, we think that's kind of weird because we get confused with what greatness really is. Everybody has a desire to be good, and that's the one that we'll talk about. Everybody has a desire to fix what's broken, and everybody has a desire to be connected in intimate relationship. That is driving every single human being. Because we are made in the image of God, who is great, who is good, who fixed what's broken, and who desires more than anything else to be intimately connected with the people that he loves. We're going to talk about the good, but the problem is, as you guys know, we confuse good with right. We think that to do good is to do the right thing. And this becomes very confusing because we become then legalistic. We become linear. We become logical. We become very, I'm doing a lot of reading about neurological things. We become very left brain. Like, it's just facts and figures. Follow the rules. Obey the law. Just drive the speed limit, whatever it is, whatever your laws are. The problem is that sometimes, and this will be a theme throughout our whole time, sometimes doing right gets in the way of doing good. And we have to be aware of that, or we may end up doing all the right things and not doing the good that we could do. So here's a little hint for you about doing good. You can just put this one that everybody wants to be good, and everybody, when they do things, believe that what they're doing is the good thing and the right thing to do. Here's how you can know that you should be thinking about it. The more you have to justify what it is that you're doing as good to other people, the more likely it is you need to think about, am I really doing good? You tracking with me? The more you are justifying and saying, well, it's okay for me to do this. Well, you just don't understand. Well, if you understood where I'm coming from, you would know, well, you know what? Other people may say this, but I say, the more you have to justify things, the more you may have to wonder, why am I so intent on insisting on my way? Because ordinarily, when it comes to doing good is about what's best for other people, not about what's best for you. All right, let's get into this. Now, here's the thing. It says, please stand for the reading of Scripture, and you're welcome to do it, but I'm reading the whole chapter. So if you are a person who is of a mind to stand for the reading of Scripture, I'm going to read Titus 1, and I'll read the whole chapter, and then we're just going to go through it verse by verse. We'll try to get done with it in time for, what time's lunch? Titus chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect, the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness. This is on page 1857 in your pew Bibles, if you want to follow along. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are ruining whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. Even one of their own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or the commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciousness are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. God, as we consider these words written a couple thousand years ago, just one leader to another, may you help us to understand how they apply to our lives today. We thank you for preserving these words, for making them available to us, that we can have a peek into the early intentions of what you wanted for your people. And may we walk in a way that allows us to do more good this year. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Paul's writing to Timothy. He's left this leader to carry on his work. Like, Paul's going around, he's planting all these churches. And so he's basically saying, look, I'm out of here. Like, I'm about done. So here are the things that you should do to keep this movement going, to help the church become what it could be from the vision that I gave you. I think this is something that we can all use, because we want to be a part of a church that is doing good. Now, I'm talking about this church that's gathered here and online, bless you guys, but also the broader church of Dubuque. In fact, the broader church of the state and the country, the body of Christ. We all want to be a part of a church that's doing good. So as we read through this, let's look for hints for that. In verses 1 through 4, we have Paul just doing introductory stuff. If you've read scripture and read the letters, Paul does this all the time. He tells you who's writing the letter. And in a sense, we get two things out of this. Paul says, first of all, it's all about Jesus. Like, it starts with and it ends with Jesus. It's all about this idea that, okay, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is my identity. And why am I doing the things that am I doing? Why am I doing good? Because to build up the faith and the knowledge of the people so that they will know God and follow God more closely. This is like a first hint, and we literally could spend the rest of the time. I have to move through it, but think about this. These intro things are not just in our day, we just do this. Dear Grandma, that's our whole greeting. We don't say, Dear Grandma, I'm your grandson in Christ, and I appreciate everything you've done and the reason that I'm writing you. We don't do that. But in Paul's day, he gives us a peek into the foundation of why he's writing. It's all about Jesus. And why? To increase faith and knowledge and the godliness of people that are doing the work. So we need to know this, because if we don't know this, we don't do our own self-assessment in terms of the motivation of why we're doing what we're doing. And as leaders in the church, and I'll get to this as we go along, but somebody might say, well, I'm not really a leader in the church. You're a leader somewhere. Okay, you are a leader at work, you are a leader at home, you are a leader in the church, you're a leader on your softball team, and if I want to say it, you're a leader in your own life, of your own life. Leadership in this case is really about, if I want to be a leader, what I want to do is I want to influence people for the good. I want to be a person that anybody that's around me in any relationship, I am leading by example for the good. Does this make sense? Because otherwise, people can excuse themselves right now and say, well, this one isn't for me, and I won't show up for the next 2 weeks either. I just got to pass. You have influence. If you are in relationship with anybody, you have influence. And so you are almost by definition a leader. So the next thing that Paul says then, he addresses Titus as my true son in our common faith. It's all about Jesus, and then it's all about relationships. Every relationship that we have is an expression of our foundational faith and belief in doing good through relationships based on Jesus. And so one of the questions we can ask ourselves about this, and the thing about Titus, we learn this, we know a little bit about Titus, not a ton, but we learn from Galatians that Titus was a Gentile believer. In other words, he was not a Jew who had become a follower of Jesus. He was one of the early implementers of people like most of us in this room. We weren't Jewish and then decided that Jesus was the Messiah. We were Gentiles that were added to the people of God through Jesus. Titus was one of the first one of those. Here's a hint for us. Do we have relationship with people who other people in the church might say don't belong? Because one of the things that was happening in the church at that time is that some of the Jewish people were saying Jesus is our Messiah, but the Gentiles are still Gentiles. And so Paul actually actively defends his relationship with Titus and defends the fact that he's a Gentile in Galatians. And now he's appointed him a leader. So a question for us, do we have Tituses in our life? If we are older, if we are leaders, do we have some Tituses behind us? Or if I want to say it another way, are we Titus, as Titus, do we have some Pauls? And regardless, for all of us, do we have people in our lives with whom we are in relationship that are actually outside of the expectation? People that don't fit in what would be expected. Like, not the people who ought to be. Does this make sense? This is a pretty broad application, but think about it. For many of the Jewish people at the time, bringing a Gentile into the place of worship was itself a violation of the laws of God. Are we in relationship with Tituses in our life? At the end of this, he says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Savior." To me, I've always read this, and I really reflected on this in preparation. I've always saw this as just like, okay, I'm done talking about myself now, let's move on. Grace and peace to you. But actually, and we have throwaway greetings like that, don't we? It's like, oh, bless you. Oh, I'm praying for you. Like, don't we have the throwaway kind of stuff like that? Have you ever like said, I'm praying for you, and what you really meant was, I hope I never see you again? I mean, not really, but do you know what I'm saying? Like, you say I'm praying for you, or I'm going to pray for you, and like you realize later you didn't even think about the person again. We have throwaway greetings like that that just kind of close a section of a communication. I kind of viewed this way. But as I was looking at this, I started thinking, grace and peace to you. If you're going to do good, if you're going to be a leader, you're going to need some grace and some peace. Otherwise, people are going to drive you nuts. Right? The relationships that are, don't be pointing fingers. I see some fingers being pointed back. People are going to drive you nuts. If you, for the work that Paul is calling Titus to, and to which we are being called, to love people, to do more good, we are going to need grace and peace. Without the grace and peace of God, we will never be able to do good. And you're like, you mean in the church we need that? Some of you guys been to some session meetings. You've been to some committee meetings. We need grace and peace in this place if we're going to do good. Am I right? So this isn't a throwaway greeting, and we shouldn't really look at it as a throwaway greeting. The reality is that every single person in this room has gifts and talents and abilities and opportunities in their lives. And if we're going to live those out to do good, it might bring us into conflict with other people. It might bring us into conflict even in this space. If it is going to bring us into conflict, we're going to have some grace and peace. And here's the thing. Grace and peace also sounds like, I hope you don't have any trouble. I hope everything goes well for you. But actually, grace and peace is what we need in our troubles. How many of us actually pray like this? God, I pray that I have a lot of trouble. I pray that I get sick. I pray that my sickness actually gets worse. I pray that the conflicts I'm having in my family become more explosive. Nobody prays like that. We always pray, God, I pray for grace and peace, that everything would be fine, that there'd be no problems, that everybody gets better. You guys, people don't get better. They die. That's a harsh word, right? But we need grace and peace in our troubles to do good, to represent God to other people that don't have a faith in God. We must have grace and peace in our troubles, not freedom, deliverance from our troubles. So this is an important concept as we look forward into the new year. How are we going to do good in the midst of conflict, in the midst of a culture that's gone off the rails? All right. Verse 5. Oh my gosh. All right, we're only actually going to do one chapter for the whole series. Like, I'm just going to stop, okay? I'm going to stop in 8 minutes wherever I am, and I'll just pick it up next week. Is that okay? Because legit, that was page one. I thought I was so proud of myself. I only have 3 pages. I usually have 4. And I've only got 3. All right. Maybe we'll just, yeah, this will work. All right. So Paul goes on to say, the reason I left you in Crete was so that you could straighten stuff out, so that you could do the things that a church is supposed to do. So let's, like, you guys are not in Crete. I don't know if you knew that. You're not in Crete, all right? You're in Dubuque. But I wonder if we could look at this and say, the reason that I left you in Dubuque, like, why is Grace Point here? It was planted here long before any of you guys were around. It's gone through iterations in the past. It's had different names, but it is a continuous congregation. Why has God left this body here? Is it just so that we've got a place to go on Sundays and we can get our potlucks going again? Like, sometimes we get so into our church that it's just kind of like our ritual. It's just the thing that we do. Why has God left us in Dubuque? Why has God left you in Dubuque? And some of you are like, seriously, right? My wife and I tell a story, and it's absolutely true. We moved here in 1984, way before the turn of the millennium, which I like to say rather than turn of the century. It just makes me laugh. We moved here way before the turn of the millennium, and we came here because I did not have proper certification in Ohio or Michigan. I would have had to do a year of experience as an internship, but here I could come and start working right away and then get the experience so we could either move back to Ohio where her family was or back to Michigan where my family is. We came here for 2 or 3 years. 37 years, 4 children who, by the grace of God, none of which are living in our basement, later, we still don't know how we're going to get out of this place. God, why did you leave us here? Look, it's true. God can use you anywhere, but this is the anywhere you are. And you are here for a purpose. And as we get into the leadership stuff, which again, we'll spend more time on this next week, I want to ask this question, because a little bit later in verse 12, Paul writes this. He writes, even one of your own prophets has said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. This is actually true. There was a 6th century BC Greek philosopher guy that said this, like he was quoting somebody. And I want to ask this. We're in Dubuque, and as we look forward to the coming year, what would one of our own prophets say about Dubuque? What would they say about what we're up against if we're going to do good in this city? All right, so it could be this, right? Well, Dubuquers are always drunk. There's a bar in every corner. How about this? This is a good one. You need to write this one down. Dubuquers are more interested in euchre than they are the Eucharist. Oh, that's quality right there. How about this one? Dubuquers think that turn signals are a present tense device. Have you ever, it's like they turn it on as they're turning. Are you with me on this? Right? For those of you that are like, really? Turn signals are a future tense device. They're to let people know what you're doing, not that you're doing it. Okay, anyway. Or how about this? And let's be more serious. Dubuquers are racist. Dubuquers are cold and not welcoming. We've been here 37 years, and we're not Dubuquers. And if you've been here a long time, you know that this is true. Or how about this? Because I think this is true of Dubuquers. All Dubuquers think that just going to church or even just being a member is enough. And here's the problem. All of us, because we are human beings, without self-assessment, we will gravitate towards acceptance of the culture around us. We become like our environment if we are not self-assessing and intentional about not becoming that. And so one of the things we need to ask ourselves as we move into the future, as we move into the good, as we try to become the new creation that we were created to be and represent God well in our relationships is, how much has the culture, how much have I become a Dubuquer? Now, this is not to be critical of this culture any more than any other. I didn't say that they were evil brutes, but we are all influenced by the culture around us, and it is always easier to rest in the culture and be accepted than it is to stand up and say, I'm going to work against that in the name of Jesus and with the power of love. Not like I'm going to tell everybody what's up. Okay, Paul could do that. We're not so good at it. But I'm actually going to be conscious of the fact that I'm influenced by the culture around me and not allow that to influence who I am and how I see myself. So Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a very favorite verse that most people are familiar with. If anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And as we kind of get into this, and we'll spend a lot more time talking about characteristics of elders and leadership and all that other stuff, because there's a lot of really good stuff here, then I want us to kind of have this in our mind. And I encourage you, read Titus for the next 2 weeks. Just read it. Get into it. Read it 2 or 3 times. And ask yourselves these questions. How can I do more good? How can we do more good? But with this image, I am a new creation. I have been made new. The old no longer defines me. What is God doing in me? New. What can I leave behind of my Dubuque culture? And if I can say it, of even a Grace Point culture. Every church has it. And it's not that it's bad. It's just we need to be aware that it influences us and we can get comfortable with it and no longer do the things that allow us to do the most good. I personally love coming here. I'm welcomed here. I've never felt like this was like a cold and unwelcoming place. There's so much good about the culture that's here. But it could be new. And it's a new year. And it's a new opportunity to do good. It's what we all want. Again, how many of you want to do less good in 2022? Nobody's going to raise their hand. No one's volunteering for that. So let's really dig into this over the next couple weeks. Next week we'll talk more about some, like I said, some of the elders, what it means to be a leader and how we can assess our own character. In the meantime, let's pray for our new year today. God, we love you and we thank you that you are patient with us. We thank you that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus and that you did not bring us into your presence so that you could tell us that we are bad people. This isn't about being bad versus being good. It's about being good so that we can do good. You've made us. You said that we are good, and more than that, we are very good. And you would desire to be in intimate relationship with us and through us to share with others the good news that Jesus Christ is our Savior and has set us free from the law of sin and death. God, speak to us in these coming days as we seek to do good. Amen.